الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما لا توعدون لواق. أما بعد، فقال الله عز وجل في كتاب الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as we gather on this first Yom al-Jum'ah after the Eid and Hajj, with a very solemn Jum'ah and a sad day for Ummat al-Islam, because, and also happy by the context that some of our brothers and sisters became shaheed in this Hajj. Hawali, approximately 400 plus Hujjaj, Hajij have met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَنَقَّلُوا إِلَى جِوَارِ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُمُ السَّابِقُونَ وَنَهْنُ اللَّهِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined for them shahada, or martabatu shahada on this Hajj. Little did they know when they were packing their bags, when they were making their money ready, when they were wearing their ihram, when they were making their ghusl, when they landed at Jeddah airport with the talbiyah, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Little did they know that this is the last Hajj of their life, the first and the last. Little did they know that they'll go back with the dates, Thamr and Zamzam, for their kids, for their brothers, for their sisters, for their mothers. Many people became yatim this Hajj. Many sisters became widowed this Hajj. Many husbands also became widowed in this Hajj. This is the real meaning of udhiyah, sacrifice. This Jum'ah, inshallah, we need to reflect upon what has happened. Many of us, we just get in shock or gasp. Oh, shuhada, inna lillahi وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. But there is a message in this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me and you, those of us who did not go for Hajj. There is a hikmah, wisdom in this for me and you, those of us who are intending to go for Hajj next time, next year. Now remember, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. If you remember, two Fridays ago when we did the khutbah here about the issue of Hajj, I said the ayah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Baqarah, that make your preparations. Ya Muslim, ya Mu'min, make all your preparations. وَتَزَوَّدُوا. But remember that the best preparation you can make is not the money, it's not the clothes, it's not the provision, it's the taqwa. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Remember that the best preparation for Hajj is your taqwa, because you are going there not knowing will you come back alive. That is why when people, Hujjaj, are getting ready to leave for Hajj, they call up everybody, they meet them, they say, please forgive me and I forgive you, because I do not know will I come back alive from Hajj. And so our brothers and sisters, 400 and plus of them, in the stampede who passed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became shaheed. May Allah accept them in His Jannah, and may Allah give them Jannah al-Firdaus, and may Allah give their family members sabr, sabrun azeem. As we begin to see the reports, many of them from India and Pakistan and other places of Africa and Asia, where their loved ones are crying, but at the same time they're happy, they know that their people are in Jannah. Because what a beautiful moat, in a sense, what a beautiful way to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the completion of Hajj, after the completion of the sacrifice, udhiyah of the animal, after taking off the hair from the head, and after everything, you are meeting your Rabb بدون أي إثم وذم. Because remember the hadith of Rasulullah, he said that whoever makes Hajj with صدق النية and إخلاص النية, then it is as if كأنه ولد اليوم, مولود, as if they're like a newborn child, a newborn baby, boy or girl, born without any dhamm, without any khataya, without anything. Imagine, and then having the last breath and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to think about today of sacrifice, udhiyah. That is why we call this Eid al-Adha. Eid, yani celebration, commemoration, having joy, having happiness. On one side you talk about sacrifice, and on one side you talk about joy. Remember that the word sacrifice is not at all synonymous with happiness and joy. Everybody who has given a sacrifice knows that joy or being happy or being delighted has nothing to do with sacrifice. Sacrifice means giving, giving something. Giving something out of your own pocket. That is sacrifice. It requires what? Patience, sabr. It requires what? Taqwa, iman. Sacrifice, udhiyah, requires stamina, courage, the ability to give something. Because those who don't have courage, those who are bakhil and bukhala, those who are stingy, those who are khaifeen, who are scared and coward, they don't come forward and give sacrifice. It is the people who are powerful, who are strong from inside, who have this emotion, this jazbah, this himmatul ayya, who come forward and give sacrifice. Who don't fear, la yakhafuna illa Allah, wa la yakhafuna fi Allah lawmata la'im. As Allah says in Surah Ma'idah, that the true mu'mineen of Allah are those who don't fear in the path of Allah, lawmata la'im, not a single spectacle of fear. Why? Because when these people were going in that stampede, and as they fell down, and as people are going on top of their bodies, because what happens in a stampede, brothers and sisters, you know better than me, that in a stampede, people are jumping on top of you, on your bodies, going on top of you. And as the person is leaving his ruh, as the ruh is leaving the body and seeing with the open eyes that people are going on top of me and I'm dying now, they don't fear anything. They don't fear maut and death. They don't fear anyone, anything. They don't even fear the people trampling on their bodies. Except they fear who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say the shahada, kalimatu la ilaha illa Allah Muhammad Rasulullah, hinama ukhrija ruh min al-jasad. They know that they are on the ground, in the ihram, or in the halatul hajj. And the last breath is coming out. What a beautiful moat. That they have the naseeb, they have the fitrah, they have the privilege of saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And that's it, the end of ruh. What a delightful maut. There are many maratib of maut. There are many stages and privileges and standards and honors of death. Somebody dies in a car accident. Somebody dies falling from a building. Somebody dies in a masjid. Somebody dies in a club, in a bar. Somebody dies doing dancing. Somebody dies in sujood, in prayer. There are many ways Allah can take ruh, wherever, whenever, however. We don't know when the ruh is going to come out. So when we look at the maratib al-maut, we tend to deduce and infer, what a beautiful maut. Somebody dying in masjid, in sujood, what a beautiful maut. Somebody dying in hajj, hinamad, when they are going through the manasik of hajj, what a beautiful shuhada, shaheed. And the topic of today is, they sacrificed their life. They took this word literally. They went for hajj, for sacrifice. They made the sacrifice of the dhabih, of the goat or the cow. They sacrificed. They're looking at sacrifice from the day they got out of their house. The moment they wore the haram, they mentally prepared their brain for sacrifice. And what a beautiful udhiyah, what a beautiful sacrifice. They even sacrificed their body, life. في سبيل الله in the manasik al-hajj. So they fulfilled spiritually, physically, literally, metaphorically, by all means they fulfilled the meaning of udhiyah. And for me and you, they have left behind a legacy. They have left behind for us a question to ask, that you, ya ayyuhal abid, ya ayyuhal ama, you, O slave of Allah, what have you sacrificed? Your brothers and sisters, 400 of them sacrificed their life in the manasik al-hajj. What have you sacrificed in your dunya, in your hayah, in your life? And remember that in this Eid, we always rejuvenate Ihya Sunnat al-Ibrahimiyyah, Abu al-Anbiya Ibrahim alayhi salam, that we commemorate every year for 1400 years. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 14 years ago did it, and the Sahaba did it, and the Muslims for 1426 years, they are making Ihya Sunnah Ibrahimiyyah. They are reviving the Sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was ready to sacrifice his son, but Allah said, I don't want your son. I want the gesture. I want the himmatul aliyah, the enthusiasm. I want to test your iman. I want to test your commitment. I want to test your loyalty. Al-wara, al-wala, wal-bara fi Allah. I want to test your mentality of sacrifice. Are you ready, or will you shy away from sacrifice? Will you feel scared from sacrifice? It's very easy to say, brothers and sisters, oh, my life is for Allah even. Inna hayati wa mahyayi wa mamati. Everything is for Allah. La sharika lah. It's so easy. Lip service. Words coming out of tongue is very easy. But when Allah really grips you with fear and test of your life, when you are about to lose your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that junction, are you cowardice? Or do you have himmatul aliyah, like this Hujjaj al-Karam, who saw their death in front of their own eyes as they are laying on the ground and people are stamping on top of them, trampling on their backs, on their bellies, on their heads, not knowing what's happening because of the sheer force of people coming behind. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in Surah Safat, in the incident, in the waqa of Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam with Ismail al-Islam. What do you say? He says, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى يَا بُنَيْ. Look at the way, look at the khitab, usul al-khitab, adab al-khitab. Ya ibni, O my beloved son. He's not saying, خلاص, Allah told me I have to sacrifice, come, you gotta get my hand, walk with me. No. Look at the adab, usloob al-khitab. Look at the mannerisms, etiquette of talking. Teaching us a big lesson, how to talk to our children, and how should children also talk to parents. A big message here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the area with the word choices used here is giving us hindsight, vision of how to develop a nice, loving, affectionate father-son relationship. For all the fathers, and yet also in it, for all the mothers, how to develop a relationship with their sons and daughters. That inni ara fil manam, O my beloved son, ya ibni, ya bunay, inni ara, I see in my dream, fil manam, anni, that I indeed, asbahuka. Imagine how the son will feel the moment he hears there is a ring in the ears. What? My death? You are giving my death warrant? You are telling me that is it? The end of my life? That you're going to sacrifice? They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know, father and son, that Allah is going to replace a shad, a goat, or a lamb in place of Ismail. Said, no, Ismail al-Islam is taking the news as if this is the end of his life. Imagine, shabun, saghirun, a young boy in his youth, hustling, bustling life, hasn't yet even gone through high school, hasn't even graduated from college, hasn't even got a job yet, hasn't even fulfilled his aspirations of the best cars, the best dress, the best cologne. Look what youth have. Youth have all kinds of aspirations. There's a message here for the youth of Islam. That Ismail al-Islam, the Jad al-Jad of Rasulullah, our Prophet Muhammad, his Jad, his great-grandfather, he is being declared, it being told to him, your life is soon to end. You are about to give the sacrifice of the century of the world in marriage. Your life. And he's not thinking about his aspirations of dunya. Rather, look at the jawab of the son. Ya abati. Many of our fathers, if they ask from us something, the sons, they become rebellious. The sons, they become very rude. What? What, dad? This, that? Even they lose the etiquette manners of talking to dad. If dad has asked any son or daughter something, the son and daughter lose the etiquette manner of even addressing the dad, just because what the dad has asked from the tongue is not with their wish and whim. It's against their feelings. They just change the tone of their talk. And where Allah is giving us an ibrah to all the sons of Islam, to all the daughters of Islam, Allah is teaching us a lesson that if you don't like what your dad and mom are saying from their tongue to you, if you don't like to listen to the music in the ear, as they say in the American lingo here, that it's music to my ears, meaning something that you like, melody. But when there's something is bad, is sour and bitter, they say, oh, this is not something I like. So at that time, their attitude, their posture, their tone changes. And Allah in the Quran is giving a wisdom, wise, visionary lesson to all the sons and daughters. That even if you don't like what your mother and father are telling you, how should you talk to them? Look at Sayyidina Ismail al-Islam, a young youth, shab, young boy. Shab is something below even 15, 14. Young, very young, in the hustling, just beginning the youth. And he's being told, your life is soon to end, Ya Ismail. What does he say? Does he get rebellious? Does he get aggressive? Does he get angry? Does he start cursing or stuff? Oh no. He says, Ya Abati, oh my beloved father. Ya Habibi, Ya Abati. Meaning the word, you can ask any Arab, but there are many ways to call father. Abi, Walid. But here, the most fasha, the balagha, the most highest form of adab and ihtiram to call your father, Ya Abati, oh my beloved, dear, loving father. What? Ya Abati, if'al ma tu'mar. No big lecture, no big khitab, no questions asked, no holes barred, not a single uff. Rather, what is he saying? Ya Abati, Ya Abati Ibrahim alayhi salam, if'al, go ahead, do. If I remember over here from the Arabic Nahum is fi'l amr. Yes, go ahead, do if'al. Not in past tense. And what is he saying? If'al, do what you like? No, no, no. Even Ismail al-Islam is telling us a big lesson. He's saying, oh my dad, don't go ahead and do what you feel like, what you wish, what your desire is. But he's saying, oh my dad, go ahead and do what you have been ordained to do, what you have been ordered to do, what you have been obligated to do. If'al ma tu'mar, tu'mar min al-fi'l amara, ya'murukum, amarakum. Meaning, Ismail Islam is showing wisdom even to us, me and you, as sons and daughters, abna' al-Islam. That look, what has been ordered to do has to be done. So it's no use making a fuss about it. No use fighting about it. No use asking dad, mom, can you find a leeway? Can you go around the bushes? Can you find an excuse and loophole? He never asked his father, the Holy Spirit, that Baba, you are a Nabi, you are a Rasul, you are Khalilullah, Habibullah, you're so close. Can you ask Allah to save my life? Can you ask Allah to spare? He didn't say that. Why? Because he knows that he is the son of a prophet, Nabi. وَالْأَنْبِيَاءَ أَحْلَامُهُمْ كَالْوَحِي. Revelation. He knows as a son of a prophet that whatever the prophet sees in a dream is an order. أَمَرْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَعْصُونَ. And they cannot make disobedience for Allah. So he has no choice. Rather, he is giving wisdom that look, don't do what you wish, what you feel like. Why? Why is Sayyidina Ismail Islam saying that? Don't do that, what you feel like. Because he knows that my father loves me. Maybe if I say do what you feel like, he might start asking Allah, Allah save, leave my son. Allah spare my son. Ab, the love, hubbul ab lil ibn, shadeed, mushaddid. So maybe he might dwindle. No, Ismail Islam is strengthening his father. Ismail Islam is strengthening his father. Thabat fil qadam. His surat al-mustaqim. He's saying, Father, don't sway, don't dwindle, don't have any fears about me. Don't worry about me, Dad. Dad, I'm with you 100%, 200% in this. You are going this way, I am going with you. I'm not going to go the other way. I'm going to support you 100% because he knows that if he shows fear as a young shab son, then the father is going to become very emotional, very sentimental. He's going to go through a lot of dilemma. I have to sacrifice my son. Meaning in this nasiha, in this udhiya, in this incident, waqiyah to Sayyidina Ibrahim and Ismail Islam, we see a lot of gems, a lot of lu'lu, pearls and gems of wisdom, how father and son are strengthening each other. And that is what Eid al-Adha is all about. Sacrifice yourself, sacrificing and enjoining sacrificing to parents, giving them the momentum, telling dad, mom, dad, what have you sacrificed for Allah? Dad, what have you sacrificed for Islam? Mom, what have you sacrificed for Allah? Mom, what have you given for the sake of Deen Islam? enjoying it. This is what Ismail is saying. He's saying, Ya Abati, if'al ma tu'mar. Why? Satajiduni ish. Satajiduni, inshallah, min al-sabirin. مش فقط ستجدني من الصابرين لا ستجدني إن شاء الله بإذن الله وبمشيئة الله إن شاء الله ستجدني من الصابرين that oh my dad go ahead and do what you've been ordered to do you will إن شاء الله with the will of Allah you will find me Ismail Islam your son young boy from who من الصابرين اللهم ارزقنا أجر الصابرين اللهم ارزقنا أجر الصابرين يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزق أجر الصابرين من هذه لهؤلاء الأعيال الذي استشهدوا في الحج يا رب العالمين أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لكم وسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على الكريم وعلى آله وصحابه من سنة بسنة اليوم الدين أما بعد As we said today in the beginning that today is a very sad Friday and also a very happy Friday for the Ummah al-Islam as 400 plus of our brothers and sisters have become shaheed, martyred in the way of Allah while performing one of the very prestigious rituals, manasik of Islam, al-Hajj. And as these families are crying and mourning their dead and loved ones, we are asking Allah SWT to give their family members sabr, sabrun azeem, so that they can bear. Because if you know, if you ever witnessed a family who has sent someone for Hajj and they don't come back, you know how it feels. I know because a long time ago, some years back, one of my close family members, their close relative went, and I know, remembering this incident just from yesterday kindles the memory of past times when we see those families who were so much hopeful, willing to receive with garlands of roses that my loved one is coming back with Hajj. They will have Zamzam in one hand and Tamar in the other for me, and I will receive them at the airport. Now that the news came for these 400 families that their loved ones have gone to Allah, they're not coming back. Even the bodies are not going to go back to their countries. The bodies inshallah. And what a beautiful place to be buried, brothers and sisters. What a beautiful place. Fil ard al muqaddisa. Where Rasulullah SAW is there on the earth. In that same place on Yawm al Mahshar, Yawm al Qiyamah, these 400 people plus will be rising. And they'll be remembering that this is where we came to Hajj. And we did not go back home. We went to the earth, land, earth, to the grave. And today we come out. So therefore, we are reflecting on this Friday, what is the meaning of sacrifice? These 400 plus people gave their life and proved that literally the word sacrifice, giving your life in the sake of Allah. In doing the Hajj, in doing the manasik, they did not fear anyone except Allah. They did not fear even death. You know, it's very easy to say, oh, I don't fear death. It's very easy to say, I want to give my life for Allah, for the sake of Allah. It's very easy to do lip service. But when true test of Allah comes in the line of duty, and you have to give your life, imagine, that is where you need strengthening. And that is what we are reviewing in this incident of thousands and thousands of years ago, when the father of prophets, Ibrahim al-Islam, communicated to his son, and the son did not know at all that he's going to be replaced with a goat or lamb. His son accepted this so-called good and bad news in the world, both ways, that yes, this is my end of my life. The son did not worry whether I'll finish college, whether I'll get a job, whether I'll get married, whether I'll have a wife. The son did not worry whether I'll have a nice suit, whether I'll have a nice car, whether I'll make to the top of the corporate ladder. The son did not worry about what's going to happen in dunya. The son is told, khalas, my son, your life is soon to be ended because Allah has demanded it. So what is son saying? He's saying, forget everything, my father. Go ahead and do what you have been ordered to do. He did not say, go ahead and do what you feel like. Because he knows his father loves him so much that if he tells him, go ahead what you feel like, he might start interceding to Allah. Oh Allah, spare my son. I cannot. The love of son is too much bearing on me. Wrong. No, rather the son Ismail al-Islam, who also later on becomes a prophet, little did he know at that time, that he says to his father, go ahead and do what Allah has ordered to you do, and you will, by the will of Allah, find me from the sabireen, patient. And that is why we made that dua, because Rasulullah said that when you want to make dua with this way, that Allahumma urzuqna ajra sabreen. Oh Allah, bestow and give me, give upon me the reward of the sabreen. Don't ask in this way that, oh Allah, make me from the sabreen. Because one time a sahabi made this dua and Rasulullah smiled at him. So the sahabi asked back to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, why are you smiling? Did I say a joke? I just made a dua that, oh Allah, make me from the sabreen. Rasulullah said, replied back with these beautiful words that, I believe it was Ma'az, that, Ya Ma'az, Sa'ayta Allah al-bala' fas'alhu al-afiyah. And Ma'az ibn Jabr al-Ghulam, and he did not realize, he said, what? What are you saying? I just asked dua to Allah, so make me from the patient ones, make me from the sabreen. And Rasulullah is telling me in response, in reply, that, oh Ma'az, you have asked Allah for trouble, bala, problem, difficulty. Fas'alhu al-afiyah. So ask him also reprieve, ask him for relief. So Ma'az did not understand, comprehend this. And then Rasulullah explained to him, he said, when you're asking Allah to make you from the patient one, what is the first thing Allah is going to give you in order to see if you're patient? Test, exam, masaib, mashakil, bala. Of course he's going to give you bala to see if you're patient. So therefore he asked him, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, how should I make dua? He said, Ya Ma'az, say, قُلْ إِنْ شَأْتَ اللَّهُمَّ أُرْزُقْنِي أَجْرَ الصَّابْرِ. Oh Allah, give me the ajr, the reward of sabri. Rather than asking for Allah for more and more tests, rather than that, ask, give me the ajr, reward of sabri. Because then with the reward, the first reward would be to instill in your heart, in your mind, in your brain, sabr. And we ask Allah that Allah give us sabr, and Allah also give the family members of these 400 people who have passed. Many of us, we listen to the story in the news as if like it's any other news. But if you don't feel something in your heart today, brothers and sisters, for these 400 people, that means there is something wrong in our iman. We need to recheck, revisit our iman. Because remember, a Muslim anywhere in the world passes away, the pain should be felt miles and thousands and miles away, because we are all one body, kal jasad wahid. We should not just look at this news, oh yes, some people went for Hajj and they lost their life. No, we should at least have some mourning. We should at least have some dua for them. We should at least reflect in our own mind, in our own heart, oh Allah, when will be my turn? And when my turn will come, will Allah, can you give me, inshallah, sabr? Oh Allah, can you give me strength? Like you gave strength to Sayyidina Ismail al-Islam. Look at the strength of Ismail al-Islam. He's saying to his father, go ahead, you have to sacrifice me. Allah has asked you to sacrifice. Go ahead and sacrifice. He is saying himself, yes, take my life. Which young child today on the face of this earth you'll find such bold and strong move and resolve and commitment? Yes, I'm ready to give my life, oh dad, oh my beloved father. Go ahead, Allah asks you, take it. You will find me, satajiduni inshallah min as-sabirin. That's why Allah says in that same surah, Surah Saffat, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. And we have replaced this, we have made this with a very great sacrifice, grandeur sacrifice, sacrifice of a goat. And that's why you did, many of you did, this last Eid that just passed away, you sacrificed a goat, remembering, commemorating, revitalizing, rejuvenating, reviving the spirit of Ismail al-Islam, the boldness, the move, the resolve, who was ready to sacrifice his life, but Allah spared his life. But some of our brothers and sisters, just yesterday, even sacrificed their life. 400 of them stampeded down on the ground. They went in the line of duty. They went with the same resolve and commitment of Ismail al-Islam, and yes, their life did end. They were not replaced. So the message and the conclusion, the summary of sacrifice, udhiyah, is what, brothers and sisters? We should always be ready to sacrifice. And we should never shy away or feel embarrassed or feel scared from the commitment of sacrifice. And remember, the biggest gift of sacrifice, yes, it's Jannah, but those of us who sacrifice time, who sacrifice money, who sacrifice our leisures, who sacrifice our luxury time, who sacrifice anything you have an abundant of, you sacrifice that in the way of Allah, sabilillah, what does Allah give? He gives you more. If you sacrifice time for the sake of Allah by donating time in some good cause for helping the humanity, Allah will give you barakah in time. Meaning the word, the essence of the word sacrifice, udhiyah, is what? The other word for that is tabdeel, replacement. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim and Ismail al-Islam, He replaced, بَدَّلَهُ, He replaced Ismail Islam with a goat. In other words, the message Allah is giving to all the mu'mineen on earth, that when you are ready to give sacrifice, and you give sacrifice from whatever resources you have, whether it's time, money, skills, caliber, effort, resources, house, car, anything you want to sacrifice in the way of Allah, when you're doing that, remember, Allah replaces it with something better and more. So if you sacrifice money in the way of Allah, you will never see anyone who donated money in the way of Allah becoming bankrupt, becoming poor, becoming poverty, becoming hand to mouth. No one will ever come to you and say, "Oh brother, I became hand to mouth, I became dhayyiq when I gave money to Allah, donated fi sabilillah." No. Always you'll see the people say, "Every time I donated, I got more. In fact, when I got more, I got more enthusiasm, more himmah, more courage to give more." Why? Because when I saw the result in my own eyes, the heart came out with hamd and shukr in Allah. So if you donate and sacrifice time in the way of Allah, Allah will put barakah in your time. If you donate your body, your physical effort in the way of Allah, sacrifice that, Allah will give barakah in your body, sahha. A lot of, some, you see many times people, they don't get sick at all. إِلَّا نَاظِرَ جِدًّا. Very rarely some people get sick. Why? Because they are sacrificing their physical life, their effort, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in the work of Allah, day and night. Sometimes you see people with very hectic schedules, and you say, where do these people find the time to work for Allah? They have a job, they have a family, they have a work, they have so much things to do, and yet look at them, they're always there in the front line, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Why? Because Allah gives them, يَرْزُقْهُمْ الْبَرَكَةِ فِي الْوَقْتِ والبركة في الصحة والبركة في الجسد والبركة في المال والبركة في الأولاد and كل شيء بركة. Meaning we should today leave this Jummah thinking we have to get ready to sacrifice anything. And remember, when you're ready to sacrifice, Allah begins to replace, makes preparation for replace. And the moment you bring out the first thing sacrifice, the first dollar, the first minute, the first hour, the first thing that you sacrifice fi sabilillah, the first cloth you sacrifice fi sabilillah, the first thing you sacrifice at the initiation of that, Allah sends His angel Malaika sending the replacement for that. And that is what we have to understand, that the meaning of sacrifice is really replacement. And yes, if we truly sacrifice literally our life, yes, we may give our life, we may not come back, but still Allah replaces what? Those who are shaheed. What does Allah tell them? وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٍ. So the real essence of sacrifice, أُضْحِيَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ, is that yes, your body has left in this dunya. You went into the ground, but you are alive, and Allah يُرْزَقُونَ. So the real essence, Allah is making us realize and understand the meaning of udhiyah, the meaning of sacrifice is really in essence replacement. Allah always replaces something with something. This is the sunnah of Allah, the minhaj, infrastructure, system, that when you sacrifice something, it is replaced. If you sacrifice with your life, that is it, the end in this dunya, it is not the end, it's the beginning of another life. Replaced with something better, Jannat al-Firdaus. And yes, if you sacrifice here in terms of time, money, effort and other things, then Allah replaces it with something more in barakah. So you're always in a win-win situation. This is in the American lingo formula, like they say in this country, it's a win-win situation. Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam and Ismail al-Islam, they're telling us here that it is a win-win situation. You don't lose anything in sacrifice. You always gain. You always acquire. And that's why Allah Subhanahu says, "Inna hadha lahu al-bala'u al-mubin." This incident of Waqia, incident of Ibrahim and Ismail al-Islam, "Inna hadha lahu al-bala'u al-mubin." This is the biggest of bala, the biggest of test, the biggest of examination, the biggest test of wit, commitment, loyalty, resolve. And they did not shy away, rather Allah rewarded them greatly, that He made prophets from them. All the prophets coming from Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam through his heart, and also our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Sayyidina Ismail al-Islam. And that is why Rasulullah said, "Ana ibnu dhabihain," I am the son of two sacrificed people who were meant for sacrifice. Ibnu dhabihullah Ismail al-Islam wa ibnu dhabih Abdullah. Yes, Allah did not make Abdullah the father of Rasulullah a prophet, but he was meant for sacrifice. Abdul Muttalib, he was taking out a lot. He was taking out every time it would come the name of his son. And he had also promised to sacrifice his son. but he did not want to, so therefore he sacrificed so many camels. And he was the father of Sayyidina Rasulullah Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is why Allah gave the sharaf, this maqam, this rutbah, this honor, prestige and decree to Rasulullah sallam. He is the only prophet to be known as Ibn al-Dhabihain, the son of two meant people to be sacrificed. They were not sacrificed, they were spared, their life was spared in this dunya. But he's teaching us a lesson. Rasulullah is teaching us a lesson. You, as followers, as ummah of Muhammad, you need to be mentally, physically, spiritually, always be ready on guard. Ready for what? Sacrifice. Never shy away from that. Never feel scared and fearful from that. May Allah give us the tawfiq in our hayah, in our deen, to always sacrifice for sake of Allah. May Allah give us the quwwah, quwwatul iradiyya, wa quwwatul jasadiyya, wa quwwatul ruhaniyya for sacrifice. May Allah give us the strength and resolve and commitment and wit to always be ready to sacrifice for the sake of Allah, our money, our time, our life, our resources, so that we always get more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات المؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات.